early next week. Rifle to right. Drops again in front of Blade. Cleary puts on the brakes in second. First two aboard in the third for Dayton. Close.
Welcome to the Exit Velocity Baseball Podcast. My name is Brent. Today I am joined by the head coach of the University of Dayton baseball, Jason King. How are we doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us. So the first question we've been asking our guests that we've had on the show is getting to know them a little bit. How did your baseball career get started in your coaching career?
Basically, when I got done playing, I knew that, I didn't want that to be the end of what I was going to do in baseball. So basically decided to go to Springfield College to get a master's degree there in athletic administration and then a graduate assistantship coaching. And that kind of got it all started. And then from there, just worked one summer of Legion baseball. And then the following summer it was down the Cape League. So that kind of got it all started for me.
Yeah, you coached 18 seasons at Franklin Pierce University up in New Hampshire, and you had a career 679 winning percentage there. You also sent 25 guys to the MLB draft, and Baseball America said you are one of the best in the country at recruiting and developing these players. How was it up there at Franklin Pierce?
Well, I think it was great. It was great for me. It was great for my family. I think, sometimes you got to be a little lucky, and I was fortunate to end up at a place that I thought valued athletics, valued winning. And I worked for an incredible boss and Bruce Kirsch, who was there with me the entire time. And, he wanted to win, and he allowed me to do the things that I needed to do to win and keep moving the program forward. So we had so many good players and so many great people involved in our program, coaches, players that, are some of my best friends and, people that I still keep in touch with today. So I feel that was a great place for me and for my family. And, I feel fortunate to have been there.
Yeah. So the question that a lot of people are wondering is if we're going to play college football or even any fall sport and maybe even spring sports. I know the Big Ten and SEC and Pac-12 are all doing in-conference games. Do you think we play any fall sports this year?
Well, the Atlantic 10, has said that we're not going to have fall sports, basically. I know that there are other conferences that have done the same. I just, I don't know. I don't have a great feeling about fall sports. But, obviously with football and, the money that's involved and, the people that are trying to make that happen, you just never know. I think it could happen, but I don't know that that's the right move based on what's going on right now in the country. But I do feel really good about what it will look like in the spring and the hopes with the vaccine and things like that. So, but we'll see. But that's kind of where I feel it fits right now. I think the fortunate thing for us is spring as a spring sport is we have a little time, and then we can work with the guys this fall. So I think that those two things are really important.
Yeah, going more to your program, the Dayton Flyers, your first recruiting class was ranked in the top 100. What does it take to get a great recruit and a great person to buy in a culture at your program?
I think you need to just do your homework. I think more than ever, we're relying on people to help us figure out, what type of person we're getting first, because the player we can see with our own eyes, but the person, sometimes you need a little help with that. So I think we've been relying heavily on figuring that side out just as much, if not more, than figuring out the baseball side. But I think it's a combination of the two. Someone that's motivated to get better, and someone that's, has the skill to improve, the way that you will need them to. But I think those two things are probably the most important thing. I think if you want to get better and you have the skills to get better, I think it's a really good match. And then you combine that with the coaches that are committed to the development of the player on and off the field, and I think you got a really good recipe for success.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I know it was kind of fun this past school year working at UD, getting to know like the freshmen. I'm in Marycrest, so that's the freshman dorm. But yep. A lot of the guys, I can tell right away that they're great people, great kids. They want to be there. They're enjoying themselves. So that's good to see. So yep. What are your thoughts on the MLB draft going from 40 to 5 rounds? I know a guy like Riley Tirade probably could have had a chance to get drafted late, but now with only 5 rounds, what are your thoughts on that for some guys that can't really get in there now?
Yeah, I really don't like that for a lot of reasons, but you know, specifically as it relates to, you know, my players from this past year, going into the season, I thought we were going to have, you know, 5 or 6 guys drafted from this year's team. And then when you hear the news about a 5-round draft and how that impacted those guys, you know, it's a bummer for them. And obviously we're very excited to have, you know, those guys coming back and being with us this year. But, you know, at the end of the day, that decision didn't seem to make a lot of sense for anybody. But you know, I think our guys have a great, you know, these guys have great heads on their shoulders, and, you know, they understand the benefit of what could come from being back on campus for another year, both academically and baseball wise. So I think they've looked at it positively, but I don't think anyone that's involved in college baseball saw 5 rounds as being anything but negative.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy, especially going from 40 to 5. It's like, that's, yeah. I mean, it's pretty dramatic.
It is, yeah.
I mean, you guys have probably, I was doing a little research, probably some of the best infielders in the A-10 with mm-hmm. Ben Blackwell, Alex Brickman, Takahiro Yamada, and then Jay Curtis behind the plate, and then Riley Tirade as well. What will be the keys in this long layoff to keep these guys in shape and ready to go next spring?
A lot of the guys have played and have been playing. All the guys that you mentioned have played this summer. So I think that's a really positive thing. There are some guys that haven't played for a bunch of different reasons. And I think those guys will need to be caught up a little bit more. But I think we're committed to giving them the time and the space that they need to you know, to kind of get ready to get back on that developmental program. But I think how we're going to approach that is, you know, in the past we've definitely scrimmaged at least on the weekends. But I think there's going to be more inter-squad type stuff that happens that will get us and allow us to kind of get our feet back under us. So there's probably going to be a little bit more of that than there has been in the past.
Okay. So in 2021, who do you think are going to be more of the tougher teams in the A-10?
I think, you know, for the most part, you know, the regular characters like, you know, VCU and Davidson and, you know, Richmond. I think, you know, there's a whole bunch of good teams in the league. So it's Fordham's a good team. I mean, you go right down the list. And I think there's, you know, every weekend you play in the league, you're going to have a challenge on your hands. But those seem to be the guys that have been up towards the top of the league. So I think we worry more about what we can do to make our team as strong as it possibly can be. And then, you know, we let the chips fall where they may, as far as who we're going to play. But, you know, that's, I think our conference is really strong top to bottom, and, you know, all these teams pose a really good challenge.
Yes, they will. So you guys had in 2019, you had a winning record for the first time since 2011. And I know we had Jerry Blevins on the show, and he talked and raved about how great Dayton baseball is coming to be, and yourself. What do you think is the next step to build like a solid program for every season you're above 500?
I think we've, you know, in my opinion, we've already done that. I think, you know, the first year was difficult just because there was a lot of moving pieces, new coaches, figuring out the roster, figuring out a lot of different things. And then, you know, obviously the second year, I think we finished third, but we had a chance to finish second in the league in the regular season. And then, you know, we lost in the conference finals. So I felt like last year was going to be another forward step. So I think, you know, where we're at right now is kind of where you're talking about, but you know, we have really high expectations, and I don't think you can achieve great things without having high expectations. So you know, our, you know, we want to be a team that when you ask that question, if they're not already answering who we're going to be the best teams in the league, that Dayton would be at the tip of coaches' tongues. And I think we're getting, close to that, but you know, we're still a program that's looking to prove it every game and every series and every year. So I think we still have that mentality that we got a lot to prove, but I think, you know, anyone that's followed the program for the last couple of years kind of see the strides that have been made, but obviously we want to make more of those strides.
Yeah, it's good to hear. Good to hear. So yeah. I know UD has sent like Craig Stamen, Jerry Blevins, Hochschild to the MLB draft. When you recruit a freshman or a young guy, what do you tell them that they have to, like, what steps do they have to take to become an MLB player? Do you have to sit down with them, tell them what their work ethic has to be and things like that?
Yeah, for sure. I think part of it is when you truly have a program that has been built, you know, a lot of that stuff is going to be handed down from the program, from the players that are currently there. Mm-hmm. But I think for us is, you know, if you can't get past the work ethic and the hard work that it takes, it's never going to lead to anything that's, you know, truly positive. So I think it all starts there. And I think just having a mentality of always wanting to get a little bit better every day and then really wanting to compete. I think baseball is one of those games that, you know, if you just do that and you just plug away every day and you try to get a little bit better, you know, the next thing you know, you know, you're competing and doing well against the best players in the country. So I think if you just keep your head down and work, you get with the right coaches at the right university that's committed to, you know, the development of the player and the person. And to me, there's nothing that can't be accomplished when you combine those things.
Yeah, anything can be done. So going more to your coaching career, you managed in the Cape Cod League, which I know a lot of baseball people and scouts say that's one of the best summer leagues in the country with talent. How competitive is it up there?
Super competitive. I think even back when I coached, which was, you know, over 20 years ago at this point, we only had a 22-person roster. I think now the roster is 32. Mm-hmm. So we had, you know, the best of the best players in the country. And, you know, it's just you get down there, a couple things are in play. One is just the sheer talent of the pitching. And then two, some of the guys are, you know, swinging wood against that caliber of pitching for the first time. So you combine those couple things and it can be a real eye-opening experience for a lot of guys. But, you know, you show up every day and there's, you know, maybe 10 future big leaguers that you're playing against and you got to have 10 in your dugout. And it's just a really cool experience. And then for it to be done on the Cape where, you know, they do a great job with the teams that they have. And it's obviously located in an incredible spot where the teams are really close by. And, you know, the games are scouted by not just the area scouts and the regional guys, but cross checkers and GMs and assistant GMs. It's just, I don't know that there could be a better place for summer baseball to happen than what happens on the Cape.
Yeah, it really is great to watch. It's one of the better leagues out there, and talking to scouts and people, they're always pointing at guys at the Cape Cod League. And some people even they make their career there if they have a great right. summer. So yep. So baseball's finally back. They started last week. It's good to see. It's finally fun to see some baseball on TV. So when there was games, what is your favorite major league ballpark?
Obviously I'm biased to Fenway, even though it's old and needs to be updated still, but, The new park that I like is the Marlins Park. It's just really clean and climate controlled. It's kind of a cool little spot. I used to take a bunch of trips with my son when he was younger. So we've seen a bunch of different ballparks, but those are two that I really like.
Have you been up to Target Field yet in Minnesota?
No, I haven't, but I want to get there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful ballpark. It's kind of like Pittsburgh without like the river, but the downtown's right in the back. Yeah. It's a good ballpark.
Been to Pittsburgh, and we really like that for sure.
Yeah, that's almost tops on everyone's list. So yeah. What are some of your favorite ballpark foods when you go?
The Fenway Frank, you got to have that when you head in there to see the Red Sox. That's probably the one thing that I'm going to get every time.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah, I know the Target Field's got the boomstick now after Nelson Cruz. It's like a foot-long hot dog loaded.
Yeah, there you go.
So what is your favorite Atlantic 10 ballpark besides UD?
I'd probably say Richmond. I like the even though it's not like a fancy setup, I just like the way the field plays and it's turf. It's got this quaint little feel to it. So probably Richmond, but there's a bunch of good parks that we've been to. We haven't been to every one of them yet. I'm looking forward to seeing George Washington and some of the others, but I think the Richmond is probably the field that we've been at that I've liked the most.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah, Jason, we appreciate you joining the show today. And I know a lot of us UD fans are looking forward to some UD baseball next spring.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me on and look forward to seeing you in the spring.